This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
Seachtain, an Indo Ascaliga.
Time I mon iroctí a yen of chacht ar a chorp, agus súligam a machan seo, gur féidir é a chur in uig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltí, fís, turmi.
Tá sé dochreitse nach bhéadach ara i gcúrna meán an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an tálam a gináam gribh orcháir na reachtam. Iadach sé tórin gribh an orcháir stán i lis dúhal agus gimine fnacht gór a clig sár ducha sin eachar. Nau ni bhin aon dár dárach sin, bhin marav.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
Today on the Indo Daily, the many trials of Donald Trump and what does it mean for his 2024 election bid. A New York jury has found that Donald Trump sexually abused E. Jean Carroll, a writer, in a New York department store changing room almost three decades ago.
Breaking news, a verdict has been reached now in the case of E. Jean Carroll versus former President Trump. Kelly?
Now, this means the former president is now a legally defined sexual predator.
Carroll left the Manhattan courthouse smiling today. She did not speak there, but released a statement, saying in part, "I filed this lawsuit against Donald Trump to clear my name, and today the world finally knows the truth."
The civil case ruled that the former president is not a rapist.
The U.S. jury in this case finding Donald Trump did not rape E. Jean Carroll, but that he did sexually abuse her. $2 million in compensatory damages for that, $20,000 in punitive damages for that, and then find that he did defame Carroll, $2.7 million, so about $5 million altogether, Scott.
Trump has labeled the verdict a witch hunt, and he intends to appeal.
I have no idea who she is, where she came from. This is another scam. It's a political witch hunt. And somehow we're going to have to fight this stuff.
This isn't the first or indeed the last spot of legal bother to cross his path. But with the 2024 presidential election around the corner, will Tuesday's verdict trip up Trump? I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and joining me today on the Indo Daily are Stephen Moore, former economic advisor to Donald Trump, who works with the Heritage Foundation think tank in Washington, and Niamh Horan, the Sunday Independent journalist who interviewed the ex-president on his recent trip to Doonbeg. Steve, a tricky week, you'd have to say, for Donald Trump, found in a New York court to have sexually abused the writer E. Jean Carroll. What's your view on that case and the jury's ruling?
Well, I think the country is extremely divided on this ruling, just as they are about everything about Trump is so polarized. And so as someone who's been a supporter of Trump, I worked for him in the 2016 campaign as one of his economic advisors and met with him many times in the Oval Office. I think that that any fair-minded person would have to say that this is a preposterous verdict by this court in New York, and it's an evidence-free finding by the jury. There was no evidence whatsoever of this sexual misconduct happening, and I think what happens when you get these kind of cases with Trump is that it only solidifies his base of voters that Trump just can't get a fair hearing and that the media and the left-wing establishment is so much against him that there is a fundamental miscarriage of justice here. And look, it's not just this particular crazy decision by this jury when there was no evidence of this happening. But try to imagine, by the way, if you were someone who 25 years ago, you know, someone alleges that you did something 25 years ago. How do you even defend yourself against something like that? So I think it also goes to the fact that the media has so abused Trump. Again, whether you like Trump or don't like him, you know, let's not forget that for the first 2 years of his presidency, the media waged this outrageous falsified claim about Russia collusion, and they spent every single night of this first 2 years of his presidency pursuing this story and making these allegations. Of course, we now know every single one of those allegations was just completely false. And so I'm frustrated by it, because I'm not convinced that Trump is the best candidate for the Republicans in 2024. And yet, the more these kinds of allegations are made against Trump, the stronger he gets. I mean, for Trump has never been more popular since the election than he is today with Republican voters.
Do you think he should have appeared in court? I asked that because he was in Ireland in recent weeks, and he was talking about going back to New York to deal with these allegations, and potentially people interpret that as that he was going to appear in court and give evidence himself. Was it a mistake that he didn't do that?
Well, look, I'm not a lawyer, mm-hmm. so I can't really answer that question. But I will say this, that I don't think you give this kind of allegation the time of day. And so, you know, the fact that this court, and look, the other thing that's important for your audience to understand is that our justice system has become political, and this is a terrible development in the United States. So if this case had been held in Wyoming, or if this case had been held in Indiana, there's absolutely no way that the jury would have found him guilty. This was New York, where you know, very one of the most liberal places in the country, where Trump is hated by a large percentage of voters. So once the venue was set, in other words, this had been Washington, D.C., there's no way Trump would have been able to, he would have been convicted in Washington, D.C. And this is a problem with our justice system right now. Justice is not blind right now. It's become political.
What about Trump's reputation, though, in this regard? We saw, again, a video that surfaced during his first presidential mm-hmm. election campaign about his comments access Hollywood, about right. grabbing women. Does that serve against him now, you think, in cases like this? And with some justification?
Sure. I mean, some of those crude an outrageous thing that he said on those Billy Bush tapes, certainly hurt him, especially with women. And there's been a lasting impact of that.
And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything. Grab them by the pussy. You can do anything. That's what you said, correct?
Well, historically, that's true with stars.
It's true with stars that they can grab women by the pussy?
Well, that's if you look over the last million years, I guess that's been largely true, not always, but largely true, unfortunately or fortunately.
And you consider yourself to be a star?
I think you can say that, yeah.
So Trump is no angel, there's no question about that. But this is, I think any fair-minded person would say, come on, you're going to bring a sexual misconduct case 25 years later, whether Trump's going to, I don't even know who, she doesn't know when it was, she doesn't know, it was in a high security place where there are security cameras. There's no evidence of this. So again, it just seems to me, let's have this out. Trump is likely right now to be the Republican nominee. Let's talk about issues. Trump's character has been, that was an issue in the 2016 campaign. I mean, people knew that Trump, of these kind of allegations against Trump, and yet they still elected him president. So why is it that now, just as he is announcing he's running for president in 2024, do these mysterious complaints arise now? And again, I think it's all political.
What about Trump's tactic of going into the lion's den, of doing a town hall with CNN in New Hampshire? Did you see that as a strategic move in the wake of the court case to kind of for him to be seen, to be getting out there and confronting his critics?
Trump is always going to do what he's going to do. Having worked with him, sometimes he does go into the lion's den like this. I didn't see the whole interview. I saw a few clips of it. he was kind of mocking this this jury decision. How Americans respond to that, it's too early to know.
What do you see as the number one issue for voters come the next election? Is it going to be that character and personality of say, Trump or another Republican candidate versus Biden and his age? Or do you see a singular policy emerging here?
Oh, I don't think there's any question that the overriding factor in the next election will be the economy. We've had a really pretty lousy economy now for the last couple of years. I was just looking at some of the statistics last night about, you know, what happened under Trump's presidency versus, you know, the first 2.5 years of Biden's presidency when, you know, we had an incredibly prosperous economy under Trump until COVID hit, of course. But up until that moment, you know, Trump's policies were causing huge wage gains for middle-class workers. We had, you know, very strong economic growth. Business conditions were very good. And if you look at what's happened, you know, since Biden's been president, it's been pretty much the opposite. Inflation is just ravaging people's incomes here. It's the number one concern of American voters. So it's all about the economy in 2024.
Do you think that Biden is now going to be the Democratic candidate and therefore that's the lineup is going to be on the Democrat side?
Well, I certainly, as a Republican, I certainly hope that Joe Biden is the Democratic nominee because I think he'd be by far the easiest to beat. So we'll see. You know, I don't think it's inevitable that Joe Biden is going to be the Democratic candidate. He really is showing signs of age. People are really, really concerned about his mental fitness. I'm not saying that in a disparaging way. I mean, Joe Biden is old. Although I think Biden and Trump are roughly the same age, although just Trump shows more energy and mental acuity than Biden does right now. But, you know, it's so interesting because there is a whole, you know, younger generation that are yearning for a younger, John F. Kennedy type of leader because both of these candidates are going to be 80.
Yeah, it's almost as if the voters are going to write off this election and we'll see what effect that has on turnout. Looking at the Republicans, from this side of the pond, it's quite entertaining to watch this George Santos saga play out. We had these allegations of exaggerations, lies, irregularities relating to him. He's now pleading not guilty after being hit with a series of federal charges.
Been compliant throughout this entire process. I have no desire not to comply at this point. They've been gracious in there. Now I'm going to have to go and fight to defend myself. The reality is it's a witch hunt because it makes no sense that in 5 months, I'm indicted.
Does a guy like that cause damage to the wider Republican Party or can he just be isolated as one bad apple?
Well, hopefully he can just be isolated. I think that Republicans should have never seated him in the first place. I'm not an expert on, what the rules are, but, you know, he's a bad character, no question about it. And he's a fraud. And so, as you described it, it's a bad apple and you don't want a bad apple in the cart. So he's a problem for the Republicans, although I would bet 90% of Americans don't even really know who he is. The press pays a lot of attention to this, but most Americans don't. Would if you ask them who is he, they wouldn't know very much. But look, he's a man of terrible character, and that's just a stain on the Republican Party.
Despite prosecutors and special counsels and investigators piling all these legal snarls up to Trump, it was this 5'3", wily female attorney and this elderly 79-year-old advice columnist who are finally holding Donald Trump liable.
Niamh, you recently met Donald Trump in Doon Beg. Did he strike you that he was in any way nervous about the E. Jean Carroll case that was hanging over him?
Definitely not. I would say nervous is the last word I describe Donald Trump as. Very, very confident and very self-assured, and went and threw himself into the lion's pit, like didn't avoid the questions. He went down when all the reporters were outside at the tee, and he went and played golf and drove the shot off the tee box and answered questions. You know, he was going into it, you know, he was going into it because he wanted to respond. So definitely not nervous. I would say just ready to fight this was what struck me. Yes.
Yeah, you addressed it with him, and you found him a wee bit evasive. Is that fair to say?
Well, I went back over all of the interviews. Well, sorry, some of the interviews he's done. He's done thousands of interviews over his career and the type of questions that he is asked. And, you know, it was like how to approach it in a new way, how to do something a bit different. And so I think there is like a mode that Donald Trump goes into, which is, you know, he has a couple of lines, you know, he lashes them out. It's a hoax. It's false. I'll defend it. So when you ask him about allegations, you know you're going to get that. So it was a way to kind of go into it a bit differently. And I don't know, was he prepared, you know, for how the women in his life, how it's affecting them, you know, how Melania is responding to these cases, how his daughters are. He was evasive, yet well able to, well, you're never going to catch Donald Trump out, but you're hoping, can you get a tiny bit of an insight into him through kind of going at it with a bit of a different approach.
Yeah, you were very much into what makes him tick. That's T-I-C-K, not T-H-I-C-K, by the way, in case anybody's wondering. And also, you'd have to say, just, you know, what drives the guy? So did you get the impression that he kind of compartmentalizes all these different problems, that he just sees the E. Jean Carroll issue as just another issue that he has to deal with, that he's just constantly juggling all of these problems and challenges and legal actions coming against him, that's the way he continues. He just keeps everything up in the air all the time.
Very good question. Very good question. I think anybody who is very successful, you know, these kind of type A personalities, very high functioning, I would say usually men that you meet that are very successful are very able to compartmentalize, and that's how they manage, that's how they cope. And yes, I would say for sure. I mean, if anybody, that's one thing I thought going into it, if anybody had even one of these things being thrown at them, one of these cases, you wouldn't even be able to get out of bed in the morning. You know, you'd be terrified, you'd be so stressed. But people who operate at Donald Trump's level, with so much coming at him, he has to be able to compartmentalize, for sure. And the one line that struck me that he said was, my whole life has been a fight.
So you stand by those comments?
Well, I don't want to lie.
Mr. President,
here's
we have a lot of questions.
Here's what she wants
Mr. President,
to say.
Let's
a
get
rich
to the
and famous person
tonight.
Has no advantage over anyone else. Well, you do have an advantage. And I say unfortunately, but that's the way it is.
You said fortunately or unfortunately.
Well,
and I came away thinking that he gets something from that. You know, that's what drives him. That's he almost, it's almost like fuel, you know, because it just struck me that he's one of these people who really don't ever want to stop. You know, they just want to keep going. His father kept on going, was always working, go, go, go. When I was in the White House, I was too busy to ever get lonely, because what happens when you stop, you know? And so, I do. I think that he compartmentalizes things. I think he's always working, always on the go. And these type of things, if anything, I think it gives him fuel, you know, it gives him a purpose.
Do you think that the outcome of that trial, will it impact upon him, or will he literally just absorb it and use it as to throw it back and say this is part of the attacks against him by the liberal democratic elements within the United States?
Well, it's funny, because when the headlines first hit the other night, like my phone blew up with, you know, text, oh my God, is he finished? Is this it? Is it he's done? Can he run as a Republican candidate? And, you know, I really wondered, you know, God, how is he going to come back from this? And then I looked at all, every newspaper, every kind of big media website had it as their headline around the world. And then I thought, God, how can you come back from this? And then you look the next morning and they're onto something else. And if anything, I think the whole thing of this 24/7 and rolling news and constantly on to the next story, that is something that will help Donald Trump, because people's attention span and they move on very quickly. And he's had so much stuff thrown at him at this stage. I think, oh yeah, that back in 2023 when he, you know, this case and this jury found him guilty about that. Does it stick? Only time will tell. I don't think anybody can answer that yet. But if anybody can survive it, Donald Trump can, because look what he's come back from before.
And my thanks to Stephen Moore, former economic advisor to Donald Trump, and Niamh Horan of the Sunday Independent for joining me today. I'm Fionnuala Sheehan, and today's episode of the Indo Daily was produced by Siobhan Maguire, researched by Paul Hyland and Clara Watt, with sound by Niall McMonagall. Archive clips from RTE, News Talk, CNN, Fox News, CNBC, ABC, KTLA, News Talk, and Independent.ie. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow, and leave us a review.